Last time we began discussing the sugya of sirtone and the pisa sayam, and we kind of ran out of time at the end, so just want to go back and spend a little bit more time on some of the issues that we highlighted. We noted in the Magen Avraham in Sivkatan Lamed Aleph, who quotes that there is a difference between yam and nahar as far as the chashash of sirtone. That concern that the Gemara has of Shem Yalah Yam Sirtan, which we pointed out as the Machlokas, different Gersos in Rishonim, whether the Maskanas of Gemara is Chayshinan or Lo Chayshinan, big difference. And the Machlokas, Rishonim Lahalacha, the Rama bin Hanan, we have the opinion that Lo Chayshinan, and Rashi, the Gers we have in Rashi, is of the opinion that Chayshinan, and that's the Machlokas Lahalacha Machaber Ramah, the Machaber Paskins in Shin Samach Gimel Siv Kavtes, that essentially Lo Chayshinan with Sirtan, and the Ramat Paskins Vieshomrim that Chayshina. But even within the Ramat, the Chayshina Lesirton, Magen Avraham points out as follows. Mashma Biloshin Rashi Vaharash Vahatur Dibishar Naharos Lo Chayshinan Shem Yala Sirton. The concern of Sirton is limited to a yam, but doesn't apply to a nahar, to a river. Kach Mashma Tosvos Kavdalit. So what are these Rishonim? What are the Mashmoyos that he's referring to? So Lashon Rashi, presumably he means, Rashi writes, V'yala hayam sirton, shalchol v'yavanam el tzfasa, there'll be a buildup of sediment, of sand, of stones, at the sea bank. Kichein darko, that is how things work. U'miskatzer rochav hayam, v'nas akarka, Kirocha Parso Yoser. And then the width of the yam is going to be narrowed, and you're going to have dry land. We asked last time why you have the Lashon Kirocha Parso Yoser, but that's Rashi's Lashon over here. But the impression, presumably the Magen Avraham is saying, the mashmos of Miskat Kirocha Hayam, that's something that you have in a yam, which is a large, wide area, but a nahar, which is narrower, would not be subject to the same environmental pressures, presumably. The Rush, he says that's much more than the Rush. The Rush just quotes yam, he doesn't say nahar. And maybe that's the mashmos that he means in the Rush. We'll see other Rishonim in a moment. They actually do say Nahar and not exclusively Yah. Same in the Torah. And what's the Mashmos of Tosfos? The Tosfos on Daf Kavdal Ramad Beis, Dibur Maskil Ein Osin, raises as a hypothetical that one could distinguish between yam and nahar. So that's what he means by the mashmos in Tosfos. Not all Rishonim agree to this. Magen Avraham doesn't quote a dissenting position of Rishonim, but if you look in the Ritva, which I don't think the Magen Avraham had. You have to check when the Ritva Ne'erven was first published. I don't think the Magen Avraham had the Ritva Ne'erven. So the Ritva on Chesam and Beis, Dibur Maskil Maremar, Chesam and Beis, Dibur Maskil Maremar, has the following lashon. This is on the Maremar Besura line. Ki hayu Besura mivoos Shahayu Psuchos L'Rechavash Alsvas HaNahar. In Surah, they had Mavos, and the Mavos opened into the square that was on the riverbank. So for some reason, the Ritva there describes it as being Alsvas HaNahar as opposed to Svas HaYam. Even though the Gemara only talks about Yam, but the Ritva for some reason there says Hayitzukos the Rachva Sha'al Sasanahar. So presumably, in that very Gemara Surah, which is the setup for the Gemara's Maskana, Argirsa of Chayshina and Lisirtan, he presents that as Sasanahar, as opposed to Sasayan. So it seems clear in the Ritva that the Chashash Sirtan applies just as well to a Nahar.
Well, Surah was by the temple of water, geographically.
I'm not familiar with the Babylonian geography, but I don't think there was any Yam there, if that's what you're getting at.
Oh, so then...
Okay.
So then
right, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, maybe there's... what's the definition of a Yam?
The oil under the... according to...
I don't know.
According to some
So this is probably something for Zach's expertise, but the topography and the geography of Surah was. We'll have to when we get there.
I mean, Pashtus, there's no sea there. I mean,
right, they're rivers.
Yeah, if you have a word for river, then it's definitely rivers definitely distinct from Yam.
Right. Okay, so that's a good har.
Are you saying maybe a lake is considered a Yam?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But okay, I hear the har, but there's about so maybe that's why. But the in the other Rishonim there is. The Magen Rebbe says Alalacha. The Magen Rebbe says Nashrosi Yishon. The Magen Rebbe says Alalacha. Seemingly that it applies to a Nahar, to a Yam, and not to a Nahar. None of the Rishonim that he quotes are absolutely explicit who say that directly, but it's the Mashmos as he presents of those Rishonim. In the Ritva, I think it seems clear that it applies equally to a Nahar, and the footnote there in the Ritva and Daf Ches points you to the Ritva on Daf Kavdal, who says the same thing, Kavdal and Amibayz, and there, we're not talking about Surah per se, Kavdal and Amibayz, Diva Maskal Ein, the Ritva there has the expression of Shema Yala Hanahar Sirtam. Not Shema Yala Hayam Sirtam, but Shema Yala Hanahar Sirtam, and that's talking about the general halacha, that's not specific to what was the Mitzvah in Surah. Okay. Why would you distinguish between a Nahar and a Yam? A little bit clearer, we just pointed out to the extent that it's the Mashmos and Rashi, what the Magen Rebbe says. So presumably, the concern of this kind of erosion is more prevalent, or potentially prevalent, in a Yam than a Nahar. The Rashba writes, more directly, the Rashba Kavdalet Amuvez, the end of Dibur Maskil Ella. Kavdalet Amuvez, the end of Dibur Maskil Ella. The Rashba writes, the Harai Vizal de Garsi Le'el de Chashin An Shema Yal Hayam Sirtam. So he quotes the Harai who had the Girsa like Rashi, not like the Rambam, of Yes Chashin An Lahalacha. Yesh Lomar Shelo Amru Ela Beyam, that only applies to a Yam and not a Nahar. Shemitoch She'eno Shaket V'Holech V'Soer Yigrishu Meimav Refesh V'Tit. When it comes to a yam, because a yam is not calm, and it could get stormy, the waves could get intense, it's going to expel the sediment. Aval benahar lo chashashu. That concern doesn't exist to the same extent when it comes to a nahar. Somehow, you could have a raging river too, but somehow the concern of erosion is more prevalent when it comes to a Nahar than when it comes to when it comes to the Yam than when it comes to a Nahar.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense with the concept of we're not choshir, it only has to be Oymed Beruch Matsuya, and if it's not Oymed Beruch Matsuya the Mechitza, so then it's still a good Mechitza, right?
If it's not Omid Ruach Mitzuya,
it's Mechitza would never stand up on a Ruach She'ein Mitzuya.
A Ruach She'ein Mitzuya.
Yeah, Ein Mitzuya.
Right.
It wouldn't stand up. It's still a good Mechitza.
Right.
So, really Mechitza's Yam should fall in the same category. Elamai. The Yam is much a volatile environment where we're Chayshish. It's not enough that it stands up in a Ruach She'ein Mitzuya.
Okay, the question is where was the Zera promulgated that Chashin al Isirta? So you could draw the line, presume, potentially different places. So the question is where do you draw the line? So these are showing seem to be saying that there's a higher prevalence or higher likelihood of erosion in a Yam than in a Nahar. Doesn't mean that there's no possibility in a Nahar, the likelihood is greater, so that's where you draw the line. And lo matzino, if you read the Gemara literally, the Gemara is talking about a yam, not talking about an ar, so you can make that distinction.
Right, I mean, it seems like a chashash.
It's all a chashash to begin with. The question is, where is the chashash expressed?
Yeah, so it's stronger by the yam, makes sense. It's just by the yam.
Right. Okay, there's a...
The whole field of Machamul has mine, really. I mean, you could think change and rivers, you know. There are plates, I'm sure there's rivers that are more volatile than,
right.
than whatever you have over here by the coast of New York City.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you have yamin that are placid.
Like where?
I'm sorry?
Where?
Kinneret's pretty placid.
What?
The Kinneret is pretty placid.
Oh, that's a freshwater. Isn't that
the same? That's what the Marid is talking about. That they're makel in Tveria to use the Mechitza Sayam. That's the Yam. The word Choshes Lucerta, even though it was a Yam, not an R. Yam Hakinerit. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Maybe I've never been to Lake Placid, but maybe Lake Placid is placid.
Yeah, if you get a call that, I would.
Okay. The point is that draw the line somewhere. Fine. There's a Shuvas Chasen Sofer Archaim Simon Peites, which is important for a couple of reasons. First of all, so the Chasen Sofer is asked about an Erev in a town called Dreznitz. I don't know where Dreznitz was. I don't know if it was called that because they dredged the river that bordered it. But he was asked about using the river as a mechitza for one side of the city of Dreznitz when they're building their Erev. So he addresses a few related issues. One point that he makes, relevant to what we discussed last time, is he was asked whether we're concerned about the possibility of the river freezing over in the winter, and the sheet of the Taz, that if you have a river that could freeze over in the winter, then it's inadmissible as a mechitza even in the summer. Right? Malka Vram argued that the Taz is machmir. The Chasen Sofer just says that this Taz is Das Yachid, Lo Hoda Lo Shum Adam. That's a Ba'olam. That's a pretty bold statement. That no one in history ever agreed to the Taz. Lo Hoda Lo Shum Adam Ba'olam, it's the Sheet Das Yachid, and we assume not like him, and that's the broad consensus. So even if there's a possibility of the Yom freezing over, Lo Matzinu a Chashash other than Sirtan, we're not going to Mitake Nu. Or goes or nukes Eros. So if it actually freezes over, then you have to deal with that. That's the Magad Avraham. But if it's not frozen over now, you don't have to worry about what might happen later. That's not included in the Gzeir of Sefer. Fine. That's one point.
Silence of the postkin is
right.
Says a lot to the Chasam Sofer. The fact that postkin don't say anything means a lot to him.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty limited in his power, though. I mean, I think you can only read so much. I don't disagree, doesn't mean that I disagree. Maybe I'm scared to disagree with you. In other words, just the fact that I'm silent doesn't mean that I disagree. It just means it's a weak. The stamina of post game
that may bear more weight when we talk about Xeros. Meaning, Xeros are presumably limited to the situations in which they're promulgated. So without a riot to extend the Xer beyond the intent of Chazal or beyond what's clear, so Hamosi Mechaver Lahur, the burden of proof.
The postkin would look at the Taz and say, right. Well, look, this is the Gezer, and he's being Moisef, so Mehenki Tesu, we have to, anyone would ever listen to him, but I need to say
right. The burden of proof is upon he who wants to extend the Xer beyond where it presumably was instituted.
Okay, I thought PK, if someone was really bothered by the Taz, they would say, he's wrong.
Okay, Malka Vram says he's wrong.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
But
that
was
his
lashon
lo hodu lo. Lo hodu lo shem adam lo. Okay.
It's different than the.
Okay, the question. Fine. But then he says, as far as the bigger issue, he makes the following suggestion, that even if you wanted to be machmir for the shitos that chashina l'sirta, the position of the Rama, maybe Evan would agree that lo chashina l'sirton beruach revias. If you have a city that's enclosed with bona fide mechitzas on three sides, and you have a yam or a nahar on the fourth side, then that gzeira or chashinan lesirton doesn't apply on the fourth side, because anyway, you slice it, you have a rishus ayachim in a Torah to begin with, and we're only concerned about a din derabanan, and that gzeira of shamayal hayam sirton wasn't extended, doesn't apply where the whole starting point is only a din derabanan. We don't generally make zeros on din of derabanan, so the requirement of mechitza berachavis is only derabanan in the mina Torah. Gimel mechitzas is a rishus ayachid. So even if you're concerned about sirton, it shouldn't apply on the fourth side. I'll just quote him: the mashanu oskim sha'ir mukafes mishalosh ruchos v'rak ach b'tzad echad he mufuleshes lahanar. So the case that he's addressing, the city of Dreshnitz, there were three bonafide mechitzos on three sides, and the only issue was the fourth. Shabivadei das nosim lahakol yoser yoser. Leos shekvar yatsan mechashash yisad deraisa lechol adeus came in sheish kan gel mechitzos levos. So number one, according to after the Rishonim, lo chashin l'sirton anyway. Number two, even if chashin l'sirton, we're only choshesh according to the Magen Avraham v'yam not by nahar, and this is a nahar. And even if you want to be machmir to be choshesh in a nahar, but mechatesi that the gzeira applies baruch revias anyway. Maybe baruch revias, we're not concerned because the whole starting point is only a din derabanan.
What's it? Is the concept what's in it?
Simen peitas. And he thinks that, maybe it's meduyak in the Gemara's presentation. Where does the Gemara bring the concern of sirton? The case was, you had a mavoi, shesidu echa kala ba'ashva, and sidu echa kala ba'yam. So, really, those are two different shaylas, right? One shayla is, what's the status of a mechitza, of ashva as a mechitza? Are we choshesh shem yinata l'ashva? The other shayla is, what's the status of a yam? Are we choshesh shem yala hayam sirton? So, really, the Gemara should have presented that as two separate cases. One case where you have a mechitza sayam, one case we have in the mechitzas ashva. Why did the Gemara present the dafka in that case where in the same mobile you have the yam on one side of the ashva on the other side? So what he seems to be suggesting is maybe that's meduyuk, because it's only really a shayla to begin with where you have a questionable mechitza on at least two sides. But in a chanami, if you have three valid mechitzas and the yam is on the fourth side, then maybe it's no shayla to begin with. So in this particular case, he says there's what to be makel on the Bahar Vacha. I'll just read his conclusion. Hayosi b'dvarenu elu shalafi perusha b'shasa poskim b'mukaf gimel mechitzas gemuros lo chashinan shema yala am sirta. So number one, he thinks that it's mavur that if you have three mechitzos anyway, we're not worried about sirta on the foresight. Mikol shekein shenachtu b'naroskim. And it's even better, here we're not talking about a yam anyway, we're talking about an ar. Where, according to many, lo shkia sirta. V'ana nekav v'nechush l'karachol k'fir, now you're going to worry about it freezing over. So you could definitely be somech on those shitos that we're not worried b'nar. And even, inami yeshvi shecholik al pirusha nal, even if you're going to reject everything we said before, but you still have the rift around the Ben Chanano who say that we're never choshish to the sirta. So he says, "Kedai lisma chaleim binar shehukaf gilam lechitzas gemuros." So anyway, you slice it. He thinks that there's what to be made of that bahar vacha in a case where you have three bona fide lechitzas and you're relying on a nahar on the fourth side. Okay. Now, the flip that emerges potentially from the chas and sofer.
But the thing with the garbage is though. The garbage is, the Gemara packs all these two cases.
They're related, right?
They're related, but the garbage is settled. That is a mechitza, and we're not choshesh that people are taking it away.
Well, there is a chilek between Ashba Shal Rabbi and Ashba Shal Yachid. There is a qualification there.
Yeah, and Ashba Shal Yachid in a mavoi.
Wait a minute.
Well, okay. Sure. If it's a personal garbage, so then you're going to have to take it out of it.
Right.
Eventually.
But it's not the same shaila, meaning the Asher Shaila and the Yam Shaila are not exactly the same. They're related principles. But they're not the same in din.
But it's not the... In other words, whatever we're saying about Sirton is not because we have a suffix about that of the wall on the opposite side. That issue is taken care of. Yes, it's a wall, and now we look at Sirton. No,
But we're addressing both of those issues. So, meaning the Ashra poses its own problem, and ultimately there is a chiluk in Ashra Shiyata and Ashra Sharabim, and Yam poses its own problem. But why did Gemara present them in the same case? They're really two different issues. So maybe it's meduyah, the fact that the Gemara, the Dafka presents the Shaila in a situation where you have two classical mechitzas and two sides, that if it's only Ruach Revias, maybe there's no concern. That's the Chasam Sofer's Kiddush. But what emerges from the Chasam Sofer, the other direction of potential Chumrah, is that maybe, he seems to entertain, if you have a Yam on at least two sides, then maybe we are Choshesh L'Sirton. You will be Choshesh L'Sirton, and maybe even Benar.
If you only have two walls.
So he seems to raise, meaning, in one direction, it's a kula, that there's what to be makele about if you only have the yam Ruach Revias, but it could come out of chumra also, that if you have the yam on multiple sides, then maybe even in a nahar, you would be machna. Zach, where was Surah? Yes.
I believe it's on the Tigris River.
So was there any Yam near there, or only the river?
I think it was only the river.
The Tigris could be big enough to be considered a river, like some river like a mile wide.
No, wherever it is. You mean big enough to be considered a Yam?
Why not? I mean, if the river
is
like a mile...
What's the definition of a Yam?
Well, like you said, a lake. But some
belt.
Like in Canada, it's the Ottawa River. It's right. Very wide. Right. You don't get the sense at some points you're on a river. Anyway, so how wide is the Tigris?
I don't know. That one's probably changed over time.
You haven't been there?
Huh?
You haven't been there?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You haven't been there?
I hear. I should. Iraq needs to get a little bit more safe, right?
Yeah, well, they just demolished the green zone this week.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The reason we're asking is that the Gemara has Shema Yala Hayam Sirton in the case of Surah, and the Ritva is the Geras of Nahar. At least the Ritva says Nahar by Mechusa.
Have we so far figured out if there's an actual... Is it more just curious about what the Geras should be, or is there should be a difference?
Well, no, because we're talking about the Machlokas Yishonim, whether the Chashash of Sirton applies to Nahar also, or only
the
men which are Masra, it's only a Yam, like the Magen Avraham, the Ritva there says Nahar in the case of Surah. So Meir pointed out, well, maybe that's because that's what was there, that there weren't any Yamim in Babel, it was only the river. Okay. You can listen to the tape. Fine. Rabbi Kasher, in his essays about the Manhattan Erev, again, the Manhattan Erev that was conceptualized in the 1960s and on some level existed till the early 2000s, which basically utilized the Yam as the mechitza for most of Manhattan, encompassing the whole island. So in his discussion of utilizing mechitza Sayam to be makif Manhattan, he quotes there, in a Divrei Menachem Simen Kaf Perek Beis Ostalid, Divrei Menachem Simen Kaf Perek Beis Ostalid, others quote this also, the Tshuvas Marit, which I couldn't find inside. He quotes it as Chuvas Marit Simen Sadi Dalid. I looked for it before, I couldn't find it. I assume it's there somewhere. So he quotes the Chuvas Marit, who is Mekel even Bayam. Meaning not like the Ramah. Right, the Ramah says that we're Machmir on Sirton Bayam. The Magen Avraham says, but now you can be Mekel. The Marit apparently is Mekel even Bayam, like the Mechaber, not like the Ramah. And he writes that was the basis of the Erev in Tveria, that there was an Erev in the time of Marit, talking early, the first generation of Achronim, and Marit was the Madit's father or son. My rhythm of his son. So we're talking the very early Tkufas Akhwa in the border. And my rhythm apparently writes that in Tveria they utilized the Mechitzas Hayam, even though that was a Yam, and they use that for the Erev. And he quotes that the Divrei Malkiel, the Lom Jirav, and Reb Chaim Berlin, and the Kuntris Tikkun Shabbos about the Erev in Odessa, which I guess is on the Black Sea. So they all talk about utilizing Mechitzas Hayam, even not an Ar, but a Yam, without concern for Sirta. So that's, let's say, a minority opinion in Achronim. It seems like the general consensus is to be Machmir Bayam, but to be Mekel Binahar, like the Magen Avraham. So that's, for example, there's an essay written in one of Rabbi Kasher's collections, I think printed in Noam. There was an essay written about the Manhattan Arab by Rabbi Kreuzer. So he quotes, but you don't really need him. It's quoted already in the Kuntres Erev Hotzah. The first Erev in Manhattan, the Lower East Side Erev 1905, put up by the Shepserov, Shua Siegel. So he wrote a Kuntres called Erev Hotzah. And in the Kuntres Erev Hotzah, he quotes these marmakomos from, among other Achronim, early Achronim, the Chubas Shev Yaakov. Shev Yaakov Simon Yiv Zion, who writes that the Erevin in Rotterdam and in The Hague were utilizing the Mechitzas HaNahar, that there are rivers surrounding Rotterdam and The Hague in the Netherlands, and they traditionally, going back to the early Tkufas HaAchronim, based on the poskim that they had, utilized the Nahar as a Mechitza for the Erev.
So is that the group Ravi? They're using it as a mechitza, or even to give you.
So in the
Ruch Shlishi Emri.
Yes, it sounds like at the Lower East Side they were only using it. They were using it for three sides. The 1905 Lower East Side Erev, the Shep Sarav utilized, it was basically on the bottom of Manhattan, so the Lower East Side and further south, but they were basically. It sounds like they were using the rivers on three sides, and they're using the elevated railroad on the fourth. They were definitely, maybe it's two and a half, but they were definitely using more than one side of Mechitzas Hayah. The Shep Sarav there in his Kuntres Eir V'Hotzah prints a tshuva from the Marasham. The Marasham actually seemed to have waded into some controversy here. The Marasham, the Rav of Brzezhan, was asked by the Shep Sarav to endorse his Lower East Side Erev in 1905, and he wrote a 2.5 page tshuva to the Shep Sarav, which is printed in Erev Hotzah, pages 28 to 30. I'll tell you some of what he says in a moment, but then apparently the people who were opposed to the Erev on the Lower East Side went back to the Marasham and got the Marasham to retract, claiming that he was misinformed about some of the Mitzvahs. So the Marasham wrote a brief letter, which is printed in the Kuntres Mayim Rabim, part of which is excerpted in Kol Tzvi Volume Zion, where we printed some of the previously unpublished literature on Erevin and Manhattan. So the Marasham there wrote a brief letter, you can look at it in the Kol Tzvi, in which he writes that he was misinformed about some of the facts, and he's retracting his endorsement of an Erev in New York. But be that as it may, the Marasham in that Shuva quotes, so he weighs in on this discussion of utilizing a Nahar, the Mechitzas Sayam of a Nahar. So he says, there's definitely one to rely on to be Mekel on a Nahar. And he quotes that he found in the Or Zeruah, Hilchos Erev in Siman Kuf Samach Daled, who quotes from the Bahag and the Basar Agabe Gecholim, that Masa Dehadra Lanarasa, a town that is surrounded by a Nahar, Eino Tzarev Shum Tikun Yoser, Vedina Ki Erev Mukafes Chom. And if you have a town that's surrounded by a nahar, it doesn't require any further tikkun. You can rely on the existing nahar to be makif that town. And it has a dinam in Yom Kippur's Choma. So it's no worse than a walled city.
That's the Bahag.
That is the Bahag as quoted in the Or Zeruah. So that you can look at the original Kisveyat, I didn't have a chance to look at. So that's... I'm sorry?
The Bahag.
The different Bahags.
Because the Basar got the column got lost during the Black Plague.
Right.
Right.
So he quoted the Or Zeruah as Sim Tuf Samat Aleph. He quotes the Bahag, so you can look at the original source and tell me if it actually says that.
Okay.
But the Marsham is excited that he found these two Rishonim who seem to endorse this position that if you have a city that's totally surrounded by a Nahar, even if it's totally surrounded, you can rely on the Nahar, and it gives it the status of an Ir Mukaf Eschoma. You saw me, do you want to say something?
So in New York, was there, at that time, in 19 or whatever, was it concrete break walls? I mean, are we dealing with a natural...
I don't know what was there at the time, but it, here, let me come. We have to come back before we close up this discussion to what we began with at the end of last time, but I'm taking a few steps back before we get back there to discuss what is a Melchitza Sayyad. Does it require a shear tail and a socket, an actual seawall, or can you rely on the water itself? So I'm going to get back to that in a little bit. But as far as what the Mitzvah was in 1905, I confess that I did not read the Kuntres Eir of the Hotzah from cover to cover, so I can't. I'm not sure what the representation was about the Messias there. You get the sense that they rely on actual seawalls of the Shir Melchitza, but I didn't read it through carefully to see. It's not that long.
It's concerned about erosion, and so even though if there would be a storm, it would kind of wash over the whole break wall, which would change the situation, right? If the water's going over the...
Okay. Now, this is also apparently a big fight in Krakow. You look in the Erev online blog, he has a four-part series about the Erev in Krakow, where... Apparently, the Jews in Krakow, until the mid-19th century, were living in a ghetto. The ghetto was enclosed by walls, so they had no issues with Erevin. And when they started moving out of the ghetto, then they had to confront how and if to make an Erev. So one of the Rabbanim in Krakow was Aryeh Horowitz, who was the force behind putting up an Erev in Krakow. The Erev Online blog quotes the memoirs of Rabbi Grabart, who was a Rav Big Posig in Toronto before Rabbi Felder. So you've encountered his writings, Chabal Ben Iman. No? Before Rabbi Price. He was, I think he was here really before the war. So he was a Big Posig in Toronto, so he wrote a Sefer Zikaron of his memoirs. He writes that in Krakow there was a rabbi by the name of Chaim Leibish Horowitz who wrote Tshuvas Chaye Aryeh. This is Sefer Zikaron of Grabart, page 167. Ish Melumadu Maskil. So I think he meant Maskil complimentary, but some of his opponents apparently were bothered by the fact that he opened a school that has secular studies. And that apparently led to some of the opposition. There was the backstory behind a lot of the opposition. The Yachbos L'Rafe is Bidkei Eidah. And the first agenda was to build an Erev. They wrote a nice sefer called the Tikkun Erevin. And the Bekiyas Tov V'Tam. The Bekiyas V'Tov Tam. Aval Chassidim Chosre Machteres Tachas Kiso. They were tunneling under his chair. Manichem avne naga v'mechshol maldarko and put stumbling blocks in his way. Kol asher hubona heimaharsim, whatever he built, they destroyed. Sosim yivalim. Gam takanos ha'erev sheshaflu rabbanan lehami letakala. Shofim es hakitan alpanav. They poured the soup on his face. The water. Einam nosim panav, einam nosim b'shabbos. Nice play of words. V'asher alkein heimachmirim ve'einam modim the Erev. So there is a war of Kuntresim between the Kuntres Tikkun Erevin of Reb Chaim, Aryeh, Leib, Halevi, Harwitz, and the Torah's Erev written by a Rabbi Krengel. So basically, some of the kontrasim deal with carpet issues, but most of it deals with using a river as one of the mechitzas. So there is a river that Krakow sat on the banks of, and for one of the sides, he used the river as a mechitza. He has a diuk that in the Rambam also, there's a difference between, you know, the Rambam anyway is in Choshev for Sirtot, but he thinks even, the Rambam also, there's a diuk that a nar is better than yam, the Varshav's mechitza. We're not going to flesh that out now. And then he says he endorses this distinction between a yam and a nahar. He says as follows: actually, let me come back to what he says after you deal with the next issue. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And then in the Tshuvas, so that's Tikkun Erev in Tshuva Gimel. And the Torah's Erev, Tshuva Beis, there's a lot of disputing about facts. That the Rava Machshir claimed that there are no pierces yes or meyesser. And the Torah's Erev says that there were pierces yes or meyesser in the actual lechises that they used. Okay, that's a fight about the facts. And then he says, how could it be, at the end of this long tshuva, he says, how could it be that Krakow had Choshev Rabbanim, the Ramah, the Bach, the Rebbe Peschel, and no one ever used or suggested using the Mechitza Sayam for an Erev? So who are you, Rabbi Horowitz, in 1870 or 80, whatever, to suddenly come along and use the river as a Mechitza? The response to that, as the Erev Online blog points out, is that in the time of the Ramah and the Bach and the Rebbe of Heschel before them, the Jews were all living in the ghetto. So they had walls. There was no need to rely on the river because that's where the settlement was. It was only once the ghetto walls fell down, literally and figuratively, that there was a need to explore other options. And apparently the government didn't allow them to put up Tzuras HaPesach, so they had to rely on existing mechitzas. Okay, so we'll come back to that. Now let's.
So it sounds like a little bit like the Taz. You see, people they're against. I mean, because some sort of against the Taz, everyone's using a nahar for mechitza. They're not choishish the sirta by a nahar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit. It's better than the Taz was saying.
Yeah. So okay, so let's go back to the other issue that we left off with last time. The Pashup Shat, and this is definitely the mashmos of Rashi. I guess writes pretty much explicitly. Now, when we talk about mechitza sayam, we're talking about an actual mechitza. You have a seawall, or you have a slope, the sheer tail and the slockate, that could function as a mechitza. And even if the mechitza isn't visible above the yam, but that the fact that it's there is sufficient. That's what the Gemara has in Shabbos Kuf Amud Aleph, that mayim l'mevale mechitza. The fact that you have a mechitza that's submerged, as long as it's a sheer mechitza, doesn't compromise its ability to serve as a mechitza, right? But that's so Rashi is talking about regular regulation height mechitza, and the Magen Avraham points out here what emerges from the Magen Avraham is that you can have a sheer tail mechitza too. It doesn't have to be 10 tefachim going up in one shot, as long as it's 10 tefachim toftalad amos within the sheer tail mechitza, then that is a sufficient mechitza. So that's the pashtus. Now mechitza, I'm sorry.
Wouldn't that be understood if we're talking about mechitzas, so and then right. Also, of course, tell us like it?
Yeah. Okay. But the Magen Avraham just spells it out a little bit more. Correct. But so what we're talking about is a mechitza, a seawall, or a slope. leading up to the shore.
And one that would be sharp enough that people wouldn't travel through it, right?
Right, right. That's what it should tell the Pasuk it is, that it's not Noach Hilucha, Noach Tashmisha, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a Chayadim. Chayadim writes, Klal Ayin Aleph Os Tesvav. Klal Ayin Aleph Os Tesvav. So he quotes, in the context of Mechitza Sayam, that if you have a Mechitza tail on the Pasuk, that's definitely good. Umikal Makom, Omek Hamayim Gufa Nechshav LeMechitza Kevan Sheyesh BaOmko Asar Tvachim, that the depth of the water itself could constitute a Mechitza as long as it's 10 Tvachim deep, even without a slope B'Shir Tel Meslake. So even if you have the slope leading up to the shore that's less than B'Shir Tel Meslake, that Bayabasha couldn't be a Mechitza. But the fact that it's the water, the Omek HaMayim itself, creates a Mechitza. Okay?
So basically you have a very shallow shore.
Right.
But as long eventually as it's at some point, right, you have 10 fucking water.
Right, so that creates a Mechitza. So where do you get that from? Nesivas HaShav is for Bloy. Perek Tzayin Funo Kafkes. Perek Tzayin Funo Kafkes. He says, well, maybe got it from a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tchumen. What's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tchumen? So this is in Simon Tav Hei. They were talking about the guy who gets transposed or transported away from his Tchum and gets deposited inside a different Tchum. So can you, what kind of mechitzas are sufficient to allow you to walk what distance within that new tchum? So in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Vav, Tafei Vav, Nisanu Ovdei Chachav Imchus Tchum, you have the Nachrim pick up a guy, and they drop him off in the middle of nowhere, outside the tchum. The deer, the sowar, ma'ara, the yeracheres, lukafes choma, the dira. So if they put him in an ear, lukafes choma, he can walk anywhere in that city, even if he left his original tchum. So the Magen Avraham there has a comment. The Yesh Omrim. That if he enters a port, then the depth of the water could function as a mechitza. Because we're looking to define what are the boundaries that this person sees himself in when he's been transported outside his tchum. So if he's in an area that's surrounded by a port, then the omek hamayim can function as a mechitza. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a indication of Omek HaMayim in the Mishnah Berurah Kosos in Sukkot and Kaf Beis. Maybe that's an indication that Omek HaMayim could function as a Mechitza. Although he acknowledges that in the Be'er Halacha, he says this might be a Tchumen Halacha, not a Mechitzas Halacha, not a Tiltal Halacha rather, so maybe its application is limited. But what confused me a little bit is that why does Rabbi Bloy need to pull out another Magen Avraham? The Magen Avraham here seems to quote an Aruch that says this. Right? The Magen Avraham is to quote the Lamed. He quotes from an Aruch that Nahar Ba'atma Habi Mechitza. The Aruch on the word Uzal. So that sounds like you already have an early source that the Omek HaMayim could be a Mechitza. And that, I was not sure why Rav Bloy didn't quote that, or if I was missing something.
Again, so the Aruch says what?
The Aruch says, again, I didn't see the Aruch inside, but the Magen Avraham quotes from the Aruch, Nahar Ba'atzmo Havi Mechitza.
I was trying to just just looked on Google Maps, and it could be that there is a, looks like modern day, there is a lake near where Sura was. So Esher,
Esher. Right, you can show me later. Okay.
Yeah, Esher, it's a shaykh.
Fine. In the Shuvas Kalkas Yaakov, Rabbi Breisch from Zurich, Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf Ayin Beis, in the Kalkas Yaakov, in the new editions, which is what they have in the Bar Ilan, they totally redid the Simanim from, it bears no resemblance to the first edition. In the first edition, very confusing. In the first edition, it's Simon Kuf Tzadi Beis, and the current edition, it's Simon Kuf Ayin Beis. Mm-hmm. The Chelek Yaakov has a lengthy tshuva on this topic, and he thinks you have a raya to this position that the Yam itself is a mechitza, based on the Magen Avraham's kasha that we noted last time. Magen Avraham is bothered with the application of Asur Rabim, right? The Magen Avraham raised Tosos on Daf Kafes in the Asur Rabim Sugya. So Magen Avraham raises the concern of Asur Rabim in the context of mechitza sayat because of the boats. The boats come in, maybe we should be concerned about Asur Rabim umevali mechitza, right? So where are the boats going? So if we're talking about the seawall, then the boats aren't going over the seawall. They're not landing on dry land. The boats are going up to the shore. So he thinks that's a raya that the yam itself could be the mechitza. Because if the yam itself is the mechitza, the boats go over the area where it's 10 tefachim deep as it approaches the shore. So maybe that's where there's a concern of Asu Rabbit.
In other words, that Magen Avraham implies that the mechitza is not at the where the water and the land
right.
Meet, rather it's somewhere else, a little bit out, right. Where the boats actually go over.
Right. That's his suggestion. So what would the basis of this position be? What's the svara that the yam itself would constitute a mechitza? When I was discussing this figure once previously with Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, he pointed out, Rabbi Konigsberg points out in his notes, that this may be related to the idea we discussed in the Rishis HaYafet Shiurim of those who showed him the Chachmei Svar, that a Makom Muvdal is a separate Rishis. A Makom Muvdal, even if it's not Mukav Mechitzos, could be considered Rishis HaYafet. So if you have the Yam, it maybe is that kind of a Makom Muvdal that is a distinct... a distinct entity, a distinct rishus from the Yabasha, and the fact that you have a depth of 10 tefachim is enough to render that some kind of a makom muvdal, which could function de facto as a mechitza relative to the Yabasha. Now, going back to the Krakow discussion, so I saw in the Tshuvas Tikkun Erevin in Simon Gimel, he says, he found this. Thought of this on his own, and then he found it in the Beis Meir. The Lulei Vistafina, he would explain, that he is advocating this position that the Yam itself could be a Mechitza, even if you don't have a Shir Tel Mislake. So Lulei Vistafina, he would say, what's the reason for that? That B'Yabasha, in order to have a Mechitza, you need a Shir Tel Mislake. Because if it's less than Shir Tel Mislaket, if the incline is less than 10 tefachim in Arba Amos, then that's an area that's Noach HaHiluch, you can walk through easily, if not a Mechitza. That's true B'Yabasha. But B'Yam, you don't need that because you're not going to walk through the Yam easily anyway. So as long as you have a depth of 10 tefachim that you're not going to walk through, even without a slope, the Shir Tel Mislaket, that could be a Mechitza. And he says he found this in the Beis Meir. So when it came to the old Manhattan Erev, it was a little bit unclear whether the representation of the Machshirim. I have to read all of Rabbi Kasher's essays, because at one point at least he seems to advocate or at least present those who are makel to rely on mechitza sayam ba'ove kayam, even without a shir tel masaki, even without a regulation height seawall. But then other places, it sounds like they were claiming, and I think this was a claim, that there were proper mechitza sayan, there were proper height seawalls all around the island. The Rosh Hashanah told me that definitely wasn't the mitzias. And Rabbi Willow told me also that on the northern end, he had noticed that definitely was not the case. And he told me at one point to deal with the northern end, they actually made Suez and Pesachs in the northern part of the island. But it does sound like, at least in some of the literature, there was a representation that they had Mechisa Sayam. There were the actual seawall or retaining walls, or at least Bashir Tel Mazlake, not relying on the Yam itself, although that factually may have not been the case. Okay, I think we'll stop here, and next time we're going to start the Sugya of Asur Rabbit, of Paris Ka'omed and Paris Rubel Omed. So I sent you. You got those Marmar Kamos?
I should check. And was that the one?
I sent it both in an email, and it's there in a Google Doc. So that's the Mishnah that follows our previous discussion of Mechisa Shesi Bela Ariv Arvela Shesi. And what we'll focus more on the next year is the din of Paris Ka'omed. And Machlokes Amaron, we passed that Paris is Ka'omed, and what's the lumbus behind Paris Galmate. Why is that so?
So there's the base Maharaj says that concept that you don't entail Mislach by water because it's not Noach Tashmish.
Right. I didn't see the base Maharaj slide, but he quotes the base Maharaj saying that. Rabbi Horowitz from Krakow. And Tikkun Erev and Simon Gimel. But I saw the base Maharaj quoted elsewhere also. I think in Rabbi Kreuzer's article, Rabbi Kasher's article, they quote this base Maharaj. I just didn't see it in the slide.